This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Friday, December 16th, 2016. Coming up this hour.
We're getting word that Sanofi may bid as much as $30 billion for Swiss drug maker Actelion.
Shares of Oracle slump after the company reports sales that missed estimates as it shifts to cloud-based software.
A record verdict in a drug patent case sends Gilead Sciences' stock price lower.
President Obama vows a response to Russian election interference while President-elect Trump takes aim at the Pentagon's revolving door. I'm Nathan Hager. Those stories and more coming up.
I'm John Stanshauer in sports. The Knicks were depleted and lost at Golden State. A shutout win for the Rangers in Dallas. Losses for the Devils and Islanders. NFL Seattle beat the Rams.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1200 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on Bloomberg.com and via the Radio Plus mobile app.
Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by Commonwealth Financial Network. When it's time to change the conversation, talk with a broker-dealer RIA who's ready to listen. Call 866-462-3638 or visit commonwealth.com to learn more.
And it's 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. And futures this morning, they're little changed. S&P E-mini futures down a point, Dow E-mini futures up 5, NASDAQ E-mini futures down 3. The DAX in Germany is little changed. The CAC in Paris down 0.25%, and the FTSE 100 is little changed. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 0.7%. The Hang Seng in Hong Kong down 0.2%. 10-year Treasury up 11/32nds. The yield 2.55%. Yield on the 2-year 1.25%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.3% or 14 cents to $50.76 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.6% or $7.10 to $11.3690 an ounce. The euro, $1.0464, and the yen, 118.03.
Shares of Actelion are surging this morning after reports that Sanofi could buy the Swiss drug maker for as much as $30 billion. Bloomberg's Neera Chehich is live from our London bureau. Good morning, Neera.
Good morning, Bob, Karen. Yes, Actelion is the best performer on the Stock 600 at the moment, up some 9.5%, gaining after people with knowledge of the matter said Sanofi is in advanced talks to acquire the Swiss drug maker. This deal could be announced as soon as next week. Of course, it could still fall apart, but the companies are said to be discussing a price of about $275 a share. And this, of course, after J&J walked away from a deal with Actelion. Now, healthcare stocks are tracking higher in general as well, but it is oil and gas companies that are actually the best performers on the Stock 600. On the downside, it's banks and retail stocks that are underperforming. The Stock 600 overall off by about 0.2%. Yesterday, we saw Europe's equity benchmark close at its highest level since January, heading for a second week of gains. Now, we're also keeping an eye on Banca Monte dei Paschi di Siena. That is up 1.2% at the moment after it received regulatory approval to extend a debt for equity swap in a last-ditch effort to raise $5.2 billion privately and avoid a state rescue. Neera Chehich, Bloomberg Daybreak, London.
Thanks, Neera. Here in the U.S., Oracle fell more than 2% in late trading yesterday after the company posted quarterly sales that missed analyst estimates. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett has the story.
Oracle was hindered by a stronger U.S. dollar as it shifts focus to selling more cloud-based software and services. Scott Kessler is equity and industry research analyst at CIFRA.
I think what's pretty significant now is that cloud revenues account for 12% of the overall mix. That compares with 7% last year. That means that cloud is becoming more and more important, but I'd argue it just hasn't been moving the needle in terms of the overall top line, and I think people are somewhat concerned about that.
Oracle gets half its sales outside the U.S. It was slammed in the quarter by a surging dollar, which rose by more than 5% against a group of key currencies. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Charlie. Verizon is said to be considering more media ad deals, even as uncertainty surrounds its purchase of Yahoo's core web business. Bloomberg's Gina Cervetti has more.
Whether or not Verizon's $4.8 billion acquisition of Yahoo gets done, the company is likely to continue purchasing digital media companies to drive traffic to its advertisers. That's according to a person familiar with the matter, who says the recent news of a massive data breach at Yahoo hasn't deterred Verizon's commitment to build an advertising business to rival Facebook and Google. Verizon's interest in Yahoo is focused on the billion people who visit its sites, including about 225 million active email users. The status of that deal is in question today following news of that second data breach affecting 1 billion users. Verizon is now weighing whether to seek a lower price or back out of the deal. Gina Cervetti, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Gina. In Asia today, most stocks advanced despite a strong dollar weighing on emerging markets and currencies. Bloomberg's Juliet Sully has the details from our Hong Kong bureau.
The TOPIX completed a six-week gain in Tokyo, its longest winning streak since March last year, as the index again rallied on a weaker yen. Both the Nikkei and the TOPIX trading at 2016 highs, they've now erased all of this year's declines. This is the yen holds at a 10-month low, boosting export stocks. Stocks in Shanghai capped off a bad week in the black, the Shanghai Composite adding 0.2% by the close to 3,122 points. However, mainland Chinese stocks have had their worst week since April. Bond markets also had a bad week, China's sovereign debt market posting its biggest weekly decline in more than 7 years. Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak, Hong Kong.
Juliet, thank you. Just breaking on the Bloomberg, Trina Solar holders voting to approve a going private transaction. And shares of Gilead Sciences are down in early trading after the company suffered a record verdict in a case involving drug patents. A jury in Delaware ordered Gilead to pay Merck more than $2.5 billion for using a patented invention as the basis for its hepatitis C drugs. That's the biggest patent infringement award in U.S. history. Gilead says it will appeal. The hepatitis C drugs account for more than half of Gilead's revenue.
And UBS is cutting nearly two dozen jobs in its Asian investment banking business, this according to Reuters, who says the reductions are mostly mid-level staff in Hong Kong and Singapore. Futures this morning, they are little changed, and the 10-year Treasury is up 10/30 seconds, the yield 2.56%. And we have more here on a headline that Bob just gave us. Trina Solar, the world's biggest maker of solar panels, said shareholders accepted a $1.1 billion plan to take that company pirate. Again, that had just crossed the Bloomberg moments ago. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news and a look at sports. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.
Karen, that brings us to 5:07 on Wall Street this hour of Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by Palisades Audi. Visit PalisadesAudi.com. Bloomberg's Nathan Hager now with the very latest at home and around the world. Good morning to you, Nathan.
Good morning to you, Bob. President Obama says the U.S. will respond to Russian interference in the presidential election.
There is no doubt that when any foreign government tries to impact the integrity of our elections, that we need to take action, and we will, at a time and place of our own choosing.
In an interview with NPR that will air this morning, the president says some of the response may be publicized, some may not. In a tweet yesterday, President-elect Donald Trump questioned whether Russia did try to hack the election. He asked why the White House waited to act until after he won. At his latest post-election thank you rally, President-elect Trump is promising to crack down on corruption.
I will impose a 5-year ban on executive branch officials becoming lobbyists, and a lifetime ban on officials becoming lobbyists for a foreign government.
And for the first time, the president-elect told this crowd in Hershey, Pennsylvania, he'll impose a lifetime ban on weapons buyers at the Pentagon working for defense contractors. Trump has repeatedly criticized the cost of Lockheed Martin's F-35 fighter jet. For a second day, the evacuation of Aleppo, Syria, is on hold. State television reports a convoy has been suspended after rebels opened fire on a crossing point. EU leaders have condemned Russia's actions in Syria, while extending sanctions by 6 months over its involvement in Ukraine. Bloomberg's Ian Wishart reports from Brussels.
The EU strongly condemned Russia's continuing backing of Syria's President Assad in his bombing of Aleppo and called on them to ensure the safe evacuation and unconditional protection of all civilians in the affected area of the city. EU leaders stopped short of imposing new sanctions on Russia for its action in Syria, but said all options remain on the table. Ian Wishart, Bloomberg Daybreak, Brussels.
Meanwhile, Russian President Vladimir Putin's in Japan meeting with Prime Minister Shinzo Abe. Both leaders agreed to work on jointly developing four islands that have been the center of a territorial dispute dating back to World War II. Global news 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Nathan, thanks very much. It's 5:09 on Wall Street. And with your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, good morning to you, John Stashower.
Good morning, Bob. Hard enough to beat Golden State on the road at full strength. The Knicks last night were without Carmelo Anthony and Derrick Rose. And then Kristaps Porzingis shot just 4 for 13. Sure enough, Warriors led by 29 going into the fourth quarter and won 103-90. Klay Thompson led them with 25 points. No Nick had more than 15. The Knicks coach is Jeff Hornacek.
Yeah, I got to give our guys credit for at least trying hard and going out there and knowing they're undermanned without Carmelo and Derek. But, you're still trying to win the game. And I think the focus, if we could have made some free throws, we were 9-19 for the free throw line.
2-2 on the road trip. That ends tomorrow in Denver. All the local hockey teams on the ice. Rangers with Henrik Lundqvist back in goal in Dallas. Though healthy, he had not played any of the last four games. The time off may have served Lundqvist well. 27 saves and a shutout win, 2-0. Third straight loss for the Islanders. Richard Panik scored with 6 minutes left for Chicago's 5-4 win. The Devils have now dropped their last four, had a 2-0 lead at St. Louis. Blues roared back to win 5-2. Another lackluster primetime NFL game, not surprisingly. It was all Seattle, 24-3 over the Rams, who are a mess right now. They just fired their coach, Jeff Fisher. Their quarterback, Jared Goff, who they took with the first pick of the draft, is now 0-5. Rams have lost 9 of the last 10. The only win in that time was when they beat the Jets, who have the next game tomorrow night versus Miami at MetLife, where the Giants on Sunday take on Detroit. Domestic violence charges in New Jersey against Mets reliever Jairice Familia were dropped. He could still face a suspension from baseball. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Bob?
John, thanks very much. Sportscaster Craig Sager never once thought about giving up as he battled cancer for more than 2 years. The end for the beloved TNT broadcaster came yesterday at the age of 65. Sager was known as much for his outrageous wardrobe as his relationships with the NBA's elite. He'd worked basketball games for TNT for nearly a quarter century. In August, he said this: "Man, life is too beautiful, too wonderful. There's just too many things. Your family and kids and all, fight. Fight until the end. Fight as hard as you can." S&P E-mini futures currently unchanged. Dow E-minis up by 5 points, and NASDAQ E-minis down a single point. This is Bloomberg. Stay with us. We're going to be talking to Peter Chatwell, Mizuho head of rate strategy, on central banks and their effects on the bond market. You're listening to Bloomberg Radio.
For the Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. The dollar halting its weekly climb as investors weigh whether the currency's surge amid the fallout from Wednesday's Federal Reserve meeting had gone too far. Asian stocks advanced with gold, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Futures this morning are little changed. The DAX in Germany is little changed as well. FTSE 100 up less than a tenth of a percent. The CAC in Paris down 0.25%. 10-year Treasury up 9/32. The yield 2.56%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.7% or 34 cents to $50.53 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.5% or $6.10 to $11.35.90 an ounce. The euro $1.0458, and the yen 118.06. Again, the euro $1.0458. Today we're watching for reports on housing starts and building permits. They're out at 8:30 Wall Street time. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Nathan Hager with more with what's going on around the world. Good morning, Nathan.
Good morning, Karen. President Obama says the U.S. will respond to Russian attempts to influence the election in a time and place of our own choosing. In an interview with NPR, the president says he's spoken directly with Russia's Vladimir Putin about the issue. Another delay to the evacuation of rebels and civilians in Aleppo, Syria. State television says a convoy has been suspended after rebels opened fire on one of the crossing points in eastern Aleppo. In sports, the Seahawks crush the Rams in Thursday night football. Knicks lose to the Warriors on the NBA hardwood. And in the NHL, Rangers win, Islanders lose, Devils fall to the Blues, and the Bruins lose to the Ducks. Global news, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg. Bob?
Nathan, thank you. Don't fear the Fed. Take it from China. Chinese state-run media rolled out several commentaries, assuring readers that Federal Reserve rate increases won't roil the world's number two economy, as the yuan fell to an 8-year low and government bonds headed for the biggest weekly decline in 7 years. We're talking the bond market this morning with Peter Chatwell, UK-based head of rate strategy for Mizuho International, on the London line now. Good morning. It's not just the Fed, Peter. We've heard from three major central banks lately. What effect are they having on the bond market?
Well, let's think. The tightening force, the only real tightening force, is coming from the Fed. And that's having a significant impact on U.S. Interest rate expectations and on the Treasury market in particular. But the Bank of England, they're essentially balanced. The outlook for the UK economy looks one pretty much of stagflation. And so I think that that means that the Bank of England is just going to sit still, do nothing, and not really going to have any direct impact on bond markets. But what will have a direct impact on the UK gilt market is this ongoing rise in inflation that we're likely to see. And that's due to the depreciation that there's been in sterling. In the Eurozone, it's almost the opposite. We've got the ECB increasing their quantitative easing, extending it from an end date of March 2017 to December 2017, albeit at a reduced pace, reducing from the 80 billion per month to 60 billion per month. So we think the picture is clearly one of monetary policy divergence, and that it's actually going to encourage more of a decoupling of these interest rate markets. Actually, I think it's interesting that if we're in an environment where global yields are starting to move up, it then adds a bit of pressure onto the peripheral countries in the euro area. Tighter financial conditions is really what these countries don't need at this time.
You mentioned inflation in the UK. We also have the speculation that President-elect Donald Trump is going to spur inflation in this country. Janet Yellen said this week that we're closing in on the inflation target. How much does that have an effect on this?
Well, I think that ever since Donald Trump's election win, the trade has all been about inflation. That's the reason that long-term yields have risen so much in the U.S. It's all been about a reflation trade. And similarly, that's taken place in the U.K. Now, what the Fed's done by signaling a slightly more hawkish path of interest rates than had been expecting, that's turned the trade in U.S. rates markets from being an explicit inflation trade to now being one about policy rates, perhaps capping some of those inflation risks. But I think a lot of the recent rise in U.S. interest rates in the long end of the curve is actually also to do with positioning. I think that there's been a significant amount of long positioning from investors that have been cut out. So I think that the slight surprise on hawkishness from the Fed and the surprise election of Donald Trump, I think it's been twofold, and it's meant that some quite large long positions have been taken out. We'll probably see those coming back as the market stabilizes in future, but for the time being, it means that the long end of the curve is very sensitive to sentiment and positioning.
So how long do you see this global bond route continuing, or does it extend globally?
Okay. Well, I think that next year it becomes more nuanced, and it does, rather than becoming such a global affair, it actually becomes a clear dividing line. U.S. Continuing the route, but in Europe actually sustaining lower yields. And so I think what we have is the 10-year spread between the Bund and the 10-year Treasury is currently around 225 basis points. I think that continues to widen. So over the course of next year, we're forecasting that reaches 245 basis points. But I would emphasize that there are risks to the upside in that, because if we see more long positioning getting cut out of Treasuries, then I think that there's more upside in Treasury yields, whereas I think that European government yields will be able to trade quite sideways. And actually, with some of the political risks that we've got in Europe, I think that the high quality paper in the euro area is still quite attractive.
Mm-hmm. Peter Chatwell, UK-based head of rate strategy for Mizuho International. Thanks very much for your insights. Let's take a forward look at the markets now. S&P E-mini futures virtually unchanged at this hour. Dow E-minis higher by 8 points. NASDAQ E-minis down a single point. 10-year Treasury prices up 10/32. The yield at 2.5602. The 2-year yield at 1.2565. And you're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit sectorspdrs.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1200. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Radio Plus app and Bloomberg.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit sectorspdrs.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
And we're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. We're getting new details about talks between Sanofi and Actelion. According to people familiar with the matter, the French pharmaceutical giant is in advanced talks to acquire Actelion for about $275 per share. That's $30 billion. A deal could be announced as soon as this week, as next week.
Monty DePasquy has received regulatory approval to extend a debt-for-equity swap in a last-ditch effort to avoid a state rescue. The exchange offer will involve about $4.7 billion of Tier 1 and Tier 2 securities and will start Friday and run until December 21st. The bank faces a December 31st deadline to raise $5 billion.
A jury in Delaware ordered Gilead Sciences to pay Merck more than $2.5 billion for using a patented invention as the basis for its hepatitis C drugs. That's the biggest patent infringement award in U.S. history. Gilead says it will appeal. The hepatitis C drugs account for more than half of Gilead's revenue, and in early trading this morning, shares of Gilead are down about 0.7%.
8:30 this morning, Wall Street time. We'll get a reading on housing starts for November. Economists forecast they dropped 7% last month, and Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice has a preview.
In October, housing starts rose 25.5% to 1.32 million at an annual rate, the fastest pace since August 2007. Construction of both single-family and multifamily projects advanced. Economists at Bloomberg Intelligence say the outlook depends on mortgage rates. The Federal Reserve this week raised its benchmark interest rate for the first time in a year. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Vinny. Janus Capital and the Henderson Group have named new managers and unveiled plans to merge several of their largest funds as they formalize their $6 billion merger. Henderson's Graham Kitchen will head global equities, with Janus's Kumar Palghat will lead fixed income at the combined firm. Janus also announced plans to combine the Janus Fund, which has about $7.4 billion in assets, with the $4.4 billion Janus Research Fund.
Nintendo's first mobile game, Super Mario Run, debuted yesterday, topping download rankings in 68 countries. The game is free to play for the first three levels, requiring a $10 payment to unlock the full experience. So far, that model has produced disappointing revenue. Shares of Nintendo closed down 4.2% in Tokyo.
And futures this morning are little changed. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.7% or 36 cents at $50.54 a barrel. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
And Karen, that brings us to 5:33 on Wall Street this hour of Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by Westchester Subaru. Visit westchestersubaru.com. Let's bring in Nathan Hager now with the very latest at home and around the world. Good morning, Nathan.
Good morning, Bob. President Obama says the U.S. has to act if any foreign government tries to interfere in its elections. He says that is just what the U.S. will do against Russia.
Some of it may be explicit and publicized. Some of it may not be. But Mr. Putin is well aware of my feelings about this because I spoke to him directly about it.
President speaking in an NPR interview that will air later this morning, President-elect Donald Trump has aired repeated doubts about U.S. intelligence that Russia was behind hacks that were aimed at helping him win the election. At his latest post-election rally last night in Hershey, Pennsylvania, the president-elect claimed the media is upset that he won.
Because remember, they said before the election, There is no path to 270 for Donald Trump. Oh, but there's a path to 306, but there's not.
That's the number of votes Trump is expected to win when the Electoral College casts the official vote on Monday. Meantime, the president-elect continues to fill up his administration ahead of Inauguration Day. He has nominated a longtime friend, lawyer David Friedman, to be ambassador to Israel. Friedman is president of a group that raises money for a Jewish settlement in the West Bank. He opposes a two-state solution with the Palestinians. It's an appointment that could signal a major shift in U.S. policy toward the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. Trump is also said to be close to naming Larry Kudlow as his chief of the White House Council of Economic Advisors. That's according to a report in the Detroit News. Kudlow is a former CNBC host who has served as an informal tax policy advisor to the Trump campaign. Unlike past chief economists, Kudlow does not hold a PhD, but he did serve in the Office of Management and Budget during the Reagan administration. In South Carolina, a jury has found Dylann Roof guilty of all 33 charges against him in the racially motivated killings of 9 black worshipers at Emmanuel AME Church in Charleston. The jury took less than 2 hours to reach its verdict. Those same jurors will meet next month to decide whether Roof faces the death penalty. Global News 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg, Bob.
Thanks, Nathan. And it's now 5:35 on Wall Street with your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Good morning to you, John Steshauer.
Good morning, Bob. Craig Sager was more than just a sideline reporter. He was a character with his loud sport jackets and infectious personality. He staged in a heroic 3-year battle with leukemia, continuing to work against all odds. Sager died yesterday at 65. Tributes poured in. Here's Carmelo Anthony.
What he brought to the game, what he created, the style and grace that he brought, you know, to the sideline reporting. He changed the game. Just the way that he fought, you know, after, you know, being diagnosed. And, you know, I think it's an inspiration and it should be motivational to a lot of people.
Anthony didn't play last night's game due to a sore shoulder. Derrick Rose has a bad back. The Knicks lost at Golden State 103-90, and it wasn't that close. Warriors were up 29 going into the fourth quarter, even on a night when Steph Curry shot just 3-for-14, Draymond Green 2-of-12. Welcome back, Henrik Lundqvist. First time in his career, the King had not been injured and had not played 4 straight games. Rangers won 2-0 at Dallas. Lundqvist, 27 saves. Rick Nash, back from a groin injury, broke the scoreless tie with an unassisted, shorthanded goal, third period. Devils lost at St. Louis 5-2. The Islanders beaten at home by Chicago 5-4. NFL Week 15, Seattle clinched the NFC West 24-3 over the struggling Rams. 3 touchdown passes for Russell Wilson. 5th straight loss for L.A., playing for the first time since the firing of Coach Jeff Fisher. Busy weekend at MetLife Stadium. Jets and Dolphins tomorrow night. Giants and Lions on Sunday. A judge in Fort Lee dropped the simple assault charges against the Mets' Jerys Familia, whose wife did not cooperate. Familia could still face an MLB suspension. With a Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Steshauer. Bob?
Thank you, John. We're up to date on sports. It's now 5:37 on Wall Street in time for your T2 Computing Tri-State Business Report. We check in this morning with Bloomberg's John Tucker. John, good morning.
And good morning, Bob. The competition continues today in an auction for more than 79,000 acres of ocean floor off the coast of New York City. The winner will have the chance to develop an offshore wind farm south of Jones Beach. The bidding began yesterday at just under $159,000, but after 10 hours and 27 rounds, the offers were up to $25 million. 3 of the original 6 bidders are still in the mix. There are changes coming at Priceline. The Norwalk-based online travel company has named 16-year veteran Glenn Fogel to the CEO post. Currently head of the strategy, Fogel will take over from Jeffrey Boyd at the start of the year. Boyd will become executive chairman. The world's largest asset manager, BlackRock of New York City, will lead a funding round in iCapital Network, an online marketplace that offers ultra-wealthy investors and their financial advisors alternative investments. Those options will include investments from BlackRock's $121.5 billion alternatives business. And that's the T2 Computing Tri-State Business Report. I'm John Tucker. Bob.
Thank you, John. Bloomberg Businessweek editor Megan Murphy sat down for an interview with J.P. Morgan chief executive Jamie Dimon at an event in Detroit. They spoke about President-elect Donald Trump's cabinet and how it may affect Wall Street. Here's a part of that conversation now.
The Republicans are in charge, and the Republicans have not been anti-business the way you've seen the Democrats largely be anti-business for years. I think if you are going to be a president, you should have the best people sitting around the table. I think it's a mistake for the American public to constantly be told that if you work for an oil company, work for a bank, you work for this, that that automatically makes you bad. You want the best team. And so, you know, honestly, I think it's a good thing. I think a lot of these people are very qualified people who want to, who are patriots. They're going to want to help the country. They're not going to try to help their former company. That's not what they're going to try to do. These are people of deep knowledge that hopefully will do a great job.
Do you think that now when you look at that sort of shift in terms of Wall Street, that this is a bit of a reset moment for the industry more broadly in terms of what the American people are expecting or what they're likely to see?
I think it's a reset moment for how business is going to be treated. So I've always believed, you know, 145 million people work in America. 125 million work for private enterprise. 20 million work for government. Okay, and we hold them in very high regard, firemen, sanitation, police, teachers. But, you know, if you didn't have the 125, you couldn't pay for the other 20. So I think business is a huge positive element to society. And, for, you know, for years it's been, you know, beaten down as if they're terrible people or something like that. So I think it's a good reset. Detroit is a perfect example that you see where civic society, not-for-profits here, government, business, working together to improve the lives of American citizens. So, yeah, I think the reset has a chance to do the same thing. If you can duplicate in what you're doing in Detroit around the country, you're going to have a huge renaissance.
J.P. Morgan Chief Executive Jamie Dimon speaking to Bloomberg Businessweek editor Megan Murphy. Russia's central bank left borrowing costs unchanged for a second meeting, while also opening the way to monetary easing after this year's unprecedented pledge to keep interest rates on hold. 10% the rate there. This is Bloomberg. And your Tri-State Business Report was brought to you by T2 Computing, a new kind of IT solutions company for workflow, mobility, and infrastructure. Let them explain how their expertise can help you gain greater business value. Visit T2Computing.com for more information.
Global business news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Radio Plus mobile app, and on your radio. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. The dollar's advancing. The dollar's advance stalling as the dust settles on a new financial market landscape created by the Federal Reserve shift to a tighter policy path in 2017. Checking currencies right now, the euro's at $1.0449, the British pound $1.2439, and the yen 118.10. Futures this morning, they are little changed to higher. S&P E-mini futures up 1.5 points. Dow E-mini futures up 21. NASDAQ E-mini futures up 3. The DAX in Germany's up 0.25%. 10-year Treasury up 9/32, yield 2.56%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.6% or 28 cents to $50.61 a barrel. And COMEX gold is up 0.6% or $6.20 to $11.36 an ounce. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Nathan Hager with more on what's going on around the world. Nathan.
Karen, President Obama says the U.S. will respond to Russian interference in the election. The president tells NPR when any foreign government tries to impact the integrity of the U.S. vote, America needs to act. Army Sergeant Bo Bergdahl is due back in court for a pretrial hearing on charges he endangered his fellow service members by walking off his post in Afghanistan in 2009. Bergdahl was held captive by the Taliban for 5 years after he abandoned his post. His court-martial is set for April. In sports, the Seahawks clinched their third division title with a 24-3 walloping of the Rams. Knicks lose to the Warriors. Rangers shut out the Stars on NHL ice. The Islanders lose to the Blackhawks. Blues beat the Devils. And the Bruins fall to the Ducks. Global news, 24 hours a day, powered by more than 2,600 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg. Bob?
Appreciate it, Nathan. And it's time now for your Bloomberg ETF report, brought to you by Oppenheimer Funds. What makes revenue so smart? Find out at oppenheimerfunds.com/ETFs. And here's Catherine Cowdery.
Higher interest rates are on their way, and that has fixed income investors searching for alternatives that address rising rates. Dave Mazza, head of ETF research at State Street Global Advisors, has some advice. Consider exposure to investment-grade floating-rate bonds.
The reason why this is interesting is that most of the time when interest rates go up, bond prices go down.
With floating rate bonds, it's a different effect. You actually see an increase in income because most of them are tied toward LIBOR, which has been going up.
Maza on why floating rate bonds may benefit over the next few months.
One of the things that we've looked at is that, you know, we've seen LIBOR effectively move from about 40 basis points to 110 basis points in a short period of time.
Maza suggests the Spider Bloomberg Barclays investment grade floating rate ETF ticker FLRN. It's seen $12.2 million in inflows over the past week. Another area that Maza recommends are ETFs that focus on senior loans. The Spider Blackstone GSO Senior Loan ETF, ticker SRLN, has seen inflows of $11.8 billion over the past week. That's your Bloomberg ETF report. I'm Catherine Cowdery.
Thank you, Catherine. Now it's time to check in with Bloomberg Gadfly. Gadfly is Bloomberg's global platform for fast commentary and instant analysis about pivotal financial, markets, and corporate news. We're joined live now by Edward Evans, Bloomberg Gadfly editor in our London bureau. Good morning. And let's give Rupert and his princes at least a little credit. And by that, I assume you mean Mr. Murdoch and Sons.
Yes. Now, Fox investors might not like its purchase of Sky, but at least the British broadcaster is cheap. Look at the timing of the deal. Of course, Sky is based in Britain. The pound is down substantially since Brexit. The broadcaster's earnings are in a trough right now. But for Fox, this deal adds some immediate growth. The deal will add about 12% to earnings per share per next year, according to Bloomberg data. It gives Fox access to Now TV. That's Sky's platform that lets it deliver content over the internet. And, of course, bringing Sky and Fox together would certainly give them more combined clout when buying content or creating their own as they try and do battle with Netflix and Amazon. Even the deal will load Fox up with debt. I mean, net debt's about 2.2 times EBITDA now. That will go up to 3.4 times after the deal. But even there, that puts Fox out of the deal-making game for now. That might be no bad thing for shareholders, given the Murdoch tendency towards empire building.
And how do you keep legions of low-paid shop floor workers motivated and serving customers with a smile?
That's been the question that's long occupied Britain's big retailers. But actually, this year, the light has shone on the employees that customers don't see. That's the armies of staff that work in the giant warehouses fulfilling online orders. Of course, what we've seen in recent years is the great shift of shopping towards the internet rather than in than traditional bricks and mortar stores. And as that has happened, you've seen more attention focused on how staff are treated. Obviously, we saw JD Sports this week in the UK, a Channel 4 News investigation, on Wednesday alleged that workers there had been exploited in a warehouse that supplies and fulfills orders to all their stores. It's not the only retailer. Look at what happened with ASOS. And the big example that investors need to bear in mind is Sports Direct. Now, a few months ago, a newspaper raised concerns about the conditions at its distribution center. And this has become a huge political issue here and a big problem for the company. Now, that, of course, has had an impact on the share price. The shares have lost more than half their value this year. It's not all down to the employment practices. The retailer's been exposed to the pound and dogged by other governance issues. But this is the sort of thing that takes up management time and effort. And it's not going to go away. Look at the other retailers that employ large numbers of people in these kind of operations, and it's the British supermarkets you need to look at, people like Tesco, people like Sainsbury, and people like Morrison.
Edward Evans, Bloomberg Gadfly editor in our London bureau, thank you. And you can read more fast commentary and instant analysis at Bloomberg.com/Gadfly or by typing GADFGO on the Bloomberg.
And now it's time for our daily Bloomberg Law Brief, exploring legal issues in the news. And today, Bloomberg Law hosts June Grasso and Greg Stuhr speak with David Kass, a professor at the University of Maryland Law School, and Michael Kriminger, a partner at Cleary Gottlieb, about why Wells Fargo failed its latest living will test.
David, four other banks were given failing grades on their living wills in April. Does it surprise you that Wells Fargo, one of the strongest banks during the financial crisis, was the only one not able to pass?
Yes, I found that extremely surprising, since Wells has the reputation for being one of the best managed banks in the country, along with JP Morgan Chase, for example. And it's very surprising. I think it will be actually relatively easy and doable for Wells to meet this requirement at the next deadline at the end of March of 2017.
Michael, what are the consequences of this finding to Wells Fargo?
Well, Wells Fargo did by having not passed the step, if you will, for October 1st, does have a couple of limitations. But to the prior point, I mean, I think these are issues that they can address. They're primarily analysis and providing additional rigor for their analysis for their resolution plans. But the constraints on them really were just not being able to acquire foreign banks or branches or non-bank subsidiaries until they remedy these. So I think these are things that can be resolved.
David, the living wills test is a key element of Dodd-Frank. Will you explain its importance?
Basically, within Dodd-Frank, the living will was set up, in effect, to set up a mechanism so that banks will not need to be bailed out in the next financial crisis or severe recession. U.S. taxpayer money would not have to be used to bail out the banks. And the living will is to set up a procedure in which banks could systematically or individually unwind in a way that they, if they had to go through bankruptcy, go through the proceeding in a way that they would not require any public funds at all.
That's David Cass, a professor at the University of Maryland Law School, and Michael Kreminger, a partner at Cleary Gottlieb, speaking with Bloomberg Law host June Grasso and Greg Storr. You can listen to Bloomberg Law weekdays at 1 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio.
And now among the top legal stories from Bloomberg Law, 20 states say that Mylan and Teva were among generic drug makers that conspired to raise prices. Connecticut's attorney general says prosecutors have cooperating witnesses as well as evidence that includes emails and text messages. Mylan says it knows of no evidence that it took part in price fixing. Teva says the company is looking at the complaint.
An American accused in the largest known cyber attack on Wall Street rejected a Russian offer of asylum. That's what a lawyer for Joshua Aaron told a federal judge in New York yesterday. Aaron returned from Russia this week to face charges. Prosecutors say he and others stole documents from Wall Street firms and then manipulated stocks to make hundreds of millions of dollars.
And that's this morning's Bloomberg Law Brief. You can find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. And BloombergBNA.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com and BloombergBNA.com for more information. S&P E-mini futures up 4 points. This is Bloomberg.
This is the Bloomberg BNA Report. Legal, tax, regulatory, and business information. Here's Patrice Sikora.
College student athletes will ask a full appeals court to rehear a case in which a three-judge panel determined they were not employees and therefore not entitled to be paid. The bid follows other unsuccessful efforts to establish employee rights for student athletes based on labor and antitrust laws. A new public database from the FDA includes reports of harmful products filed by consumers, doctors, and companies. The agency uses the reports to identify items that need further investigation, and now consumers and industry groups have access. The reports were previously available only through Freedom of Information Act requests. And music and publishing industry associations want some attention from President-elect Donald Trump. In a joint letter, 19 groups focus on the importance of copyright protections and criticize the tech industry for engaging in what they call a massive value grab from content producers.
That's today's Bloomberg BNA Report. For more on these and other stories, visit BNA.com.